This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Oh, shit. You bad motherfuckers, you. Oh, shit. That's all I got to fucking say today. Wednesday, January 22nd. It's all about you. Fuck it. Here you go. Oh. Ba-da-na. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Break out the fucking syringe and the piece of ass. It's going fucking down, bitch. Are you fucking kidding? Listen to this motherfucker jumping up and down. What? 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 Now you're fucking doing like a Celtic dance and shit. You're jumping up and down. It's coming, baby. Wednesday, January 22nd. And it's all about fucking you and the Flying Jew. What's up, though?
I love that. It's all about you and the, I love it.
That's what's going on, baby. You don't call. You don't write.
Well, I'm busy now. You'll have to contact my agent. My agent will contact you.
Oh, shit. Nobody calls. Nobody writes. They sit over here and count 20s all day, talk about movies and La Bumba.
Oh, I wish. What's that would be awesome if I could do that.
It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive.
It's a great day to be alive. No, I feel great. This is the happiest thing to wake up at 5 in the morning for.
You know, it's you look at it on paper and you're like, what the fuck do you guys do? Guys, man, it's sometimes it's good to wake up when it's blackout.
Yeah.
And you just see you go on your balcony and you hear the city for what it is and you hear your thoughts. And it's the only time you might be alone the fucking day. But it's those 3 minutes will change you, you know. Just waking up sometimes early in the morning and seeing what's... And it sucks. You feel shitty about yourself. Tom Segura and me were... going back and forth the other day.
I saw that.
He was like, do you do this all the fucking time? And it's like, you know, I understand the difference between, like, I'm really scared now about my early flights, especially on Saturday nights, because it's just a day of fucking blood pressure. Because when you don't get 6 hours of sleep, your blood pressure rises.
Oh, okay.
Sleeping is very essential for your fucking blood pressure, so when you don't, it rises. You do a couple nights of fucking no 6 hours sleep, and I'll tell you what, this flu that I had, this thing that I'm still not 100% about, that I've spread throughout the fucking house now, I think it was more of a germ, but it was also my body.
What do you mean?
I keep forgetting I'm 50.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and last week I was doing the kettlebells really hard, and I was opening up with deadlifts, and, you know, it was a little bit too much fucking weight, I think, and just everything. I was just generally sore. My body needed to recuperate. A germ zipped in. And it fucked me up. This is what happens when you don't get adequate rest. Because I was eating good, and I was sleeping, working out, and I was taking my vitamins. All that shit was intact. I think the sleep part of me. I was getting up a little too early to beat the traffic and to write and shit. And, you know, that 1 week I got up at 3 in the morning to jump on a fucking plane.
Oh.
And I gotta tell you, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. You know, sometimes I should just leave late the night before. And at least I save. If I get up today, it kills 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah, no, sleep is... I was terrible at sleep, especially when I was doing the other job and then this. I'd be up for 18 hours and get maybe 5. So I know I feel your pain.
At any age, when you don't sleep, you put on weight. You know that.
Yep.
You put on a lot of fucking weight when you don't sleep. What saved me all those years was the blow. A very interesting conversation. Listen. This podcast is built on a couple things. We come on here and we talk dirty and we fuck around and we smoke dope. But everybody knows, unless we talk about addictions, fear, you know, that's when we strike a chord, you know. But the other day I struck a chord with that date thing.
Yeah.
I got like 10 fucking emails. As soon as I got home, bam, they were like, Jesus Christ, I actually stopped what I was doing and thought about what you said. Some kid hit me up that his life even changed from the age of 12 to 17. He was 17 when he heard that. And he goes, I broke it down to 5 years. And I really thought about it. And I really thought about it. I went home after I got the emails that night. I didn't go out Monday night. And I was making notes. And I wrote about 10 years, 20 years, my state, just a feeling, what I was feeling at the time. And the 20-year one was the real crazy one because it wasn't desperation, but it was want. I just wanted to be a comic lead. In January of 1994, there was nothing more in the world that I wanted to do was to be a comic. I wanted to be a comic to prove a point.
Okay.
I wanted to be a comic because I just couldn't wait to be funny. I had been doing comedy for 3 years, and for the first 2 years, I wasn't professional, I wasn't really into it. I was fucking around with it, as they say. Like, I would get on stage and not get on stage for 2 weeks and not write. But then something hit my head when I went into New York for 94. In 93, I went to the clubs and I saw the comics. And I really seen what I wanted to do at any cost, you know. And I went back and I got this shitty fucking apartment in Boulder, which was the Rocky apartment. And I would go out every night and do comedy. I made a goal that I was going out every night. And I got the paper from Denver, Boulder, and like fucking upper north, like Greeley area. Like, there's a college up there.
Okay.
And they had a lot of open mics. And they were all 45 minutes an hour from me. And I decided I was going to go out every night. And every night, whatever it would cost me, I would shoplift in the daytime. So I made sure to go out at night. And I'd walk in these rooms that weren't comedy rooms. They weren't comedy rooms, Lee. They were fucking music rooms. They were karaoke rooms. And I remember, like, I was so fucking bad, the karaoke host wouldn't even let me go up. Like, they're like, nah, Doug, you can't. And I have to sneak on stage, and their assistant was around. But I made a goal to get on stage every night.
Yeah.
And there were these guys, this guy named Jimmy Abeda, which is still a comedian in Colorado, who I owe a lot to. And there was this kid named Andy Payton, who was an older gentleman. Andy Payton ended up being the mayor of a small town in Colorado. But Andy Payton taught me something in comedy that was the greatest thing. He taught me the art of hustling. Andy Payton was not the funniest guy in the world. He was the original 420 comic. You know, okay. He talked about reefer and what it did to him. He was a hippie. So since people wouldn't book him, he goes, I'm going to create my own fucking market. So he went around and he booked 3 weeks. He put together 3 weeks of rooms.
Wow.
3 weeks. So Monday night, you'd be at Van Nuys Pool and fucking whatever. Tuesday night, you'd be at Joey's Country. Wednesday, you'd be at Lee's Jew Bar. Thursday, I swear to God. I fucking swear to God, dog. He spread that shit out. But you had 3 weeks of work.
Okay.
What he would deal to the people with. Then he put together a newspaper, guys. This is what I'm talking about. This guy put together his own newspaper, comedy newspaper. He sold advertising in the newspaper, and he sold it to the bars where he did the comedy at.
Wow.
Do you understand me, people, what I'm trying to tell you? And this is 20 fucking years ago, this guy. So he had this complete network going. He had it going for years, but he had no support from the comics. The comics, no comics wanted to do these rooms. Every comic wanted to do the Comedy Works and Wits End and McKelvey's. Nobody wanted to pay the price and do these shitty fucking rooms. Guess who ended up doing it?
Yeah.
Me. I still remember going up on Sunday nights following a line dancing class. You're so young, you don't even remember line dancing.
I know line dancing. So they had a class, and then they said, stick around for the comedy?
Then stick around for the fucking comedy, okay? And it was all rednecks, and I would go up there and bomb. So between his rooms, the fucking poetry readings, and all that shit, I got on fucking stage.
How long were you doing stand-up before you actually did it in an actual stand-up comedy club? Because you started at, like, a steak restaurant.
No, but the first time I got on stage at the Comedy Works in Denver.
Okay, so you do start there for some open mics, but it seems like a lot of them aren't at comedy clubs.
No. And then you just keep developing and developing, and every once in a while you go back to the comedy club to center yourself, to see what level you've gotten to.
Okay.
It's like going to jiu-jitsu and going to competitions, you know?
Okay, got it. And then you come back to class or something?
And then I would go back to the Comedy Works and, you know, do a set. But I still remember going out every night. You know, some nights you came home with $5. Some nights you came home with $10 and a joint. Some nights, it was a fucking stretch. But I would come home at night, and there used to be a comedy newspaper from Seattle. It was done out of San Francisco. John Fox put it together in the late 80s and early 90s. Comedy on the Run. I don't know what the fuck it was called. Just for Laughs magazine. And I used to, in the back was a comedy club guide of all the comedy clubs in the country. And I would circle which ones I was going to be good enough to play at someday. But I would do this every fucking night, Lee. I would do that 94. And I did blow, and I went out, and I wrote jokes, and I had a day job. I delivered Chinese food, and I sold Coke.
You delivered Chinese food?
I delivered Chinese food at night and sold Coke in the delivery car. So if you called me, I'd say, all right, I'm gonna deliver food. Order, call the Chinese restaurant and order fried pork fried rice, and I'll deliver the Coke to your house.
Wow.
It was just the sickest fucking year and a half of my life. But it put me on path, because everything else I had done up to that was bullshit. I went back in November of 93, and I lived with a cousin of mine in Arvada, and I got a job selling cars, and that's how I went out at night to do comedy. And then I finally stopped the cars and just kept everything in Boulder. And by the grace of God, I would always have a car to go do comedy at night. Mike Kessler, who calls into the podcast, worked at a car store.
Yeah, Uncle Mike, yeah.
So I would steal a car from the lot and drive that for 2 or 3 weeks with a demo. I'm not kidding you. My friends, the Deli Zone, they had a restaurant, they had a delivery car, and they would let me take it at night. The fucking bumper was in the car. Like, the bumper, that's how bad of a car it was. But I still got to my comedy gigs, and that's all that fucking mattered, as long as I had money for gas.
So this is kind of, I'm going through something similar, I guess. So you were selling cars, but then you stopped. Did like Uncle Mike ever call you and say, listen, I have this great gig at this great dealership?
Everybody called me, but my rent was $400 at the time.
Okay.
I could make $400 stealing in one fucking day.
Okay.
I could sell a gram of blow and put cut on it and sell you headache powders and sell you the mattress. So for $400 a day, it ain't worth having a fucking job for $400 a month.
Yeah, because I got that call yesterday, and I went to the interview, and it was just stupid. And if they call me for it, I wouldn't take it. But it's just like, I was like, oh, maybe I could do it and do both and make the money and not have to worry about it. But as I was sitting in the interview, I was like, this is the worst.
Well, right now you're at a cross base. You got something good going on.
Yeah.
It's not like you're starting from scratch every month at zero with six guys. So that helps out. But listen, Lee, nothing's going to happen until you put your balls in the line.
Mm-hmm.
People will, I'm going to have a band, but my day job has benefits. You got to make up your mind, bitch. You really got to make up your fucking mind in this life. And listen, for some people, I've known people who have given up their dream for a job with security because of family. And hey, that's fine too. But I'm going to tell you something. Somewhere along the line, it's going to backfire on you. Yeah. Somewhere along the line in your heart and in your psyche, you didn't go for what you were put on this planet to go for. And that's going to fuck with you. And yeah, you look at your children, you look at your security, you look at your insurance, you look at your pension, and you could do things. You could still work things. I never thought I would ever be at this level in comedy, which I'm nothing. I'm just rocking and rolling. But I always thought I would have a day job. Like today, I just saw somebody running to the bus.
Okay.
And I miss those days.
Yeah.
I miss those days to really smoke it out, to really put you on point. Nobody knows what life is until you're fucking taking a bus to work. And you got to be there at 6:48 on the minute. And as you're walking out, you step on cat puke. You knock over the garbage. You go to pick it up. There's no breakfast.
No.
You know, that's when you tough it the fuck out. It's not like mommy's there. But, you know, I'll tell you, nothing big happens until you put your balls in the line. And sometimes it's just making a commitment of coming out here. Maybe for you, that's what it was, Lee. Because all your other friends are still back there, or maybe some of them are out here. I know for me, it was stepping up, you know. Mm-hmm. It's always stepping up. You got to always fucking step up. Whatever you want to do, you got to step up and stick to your guns and say, this is what I'm going to fucking do, and I'm going to be the best at it for however long I have to do it, because I know the end is this payoff.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, because you had jobs like the Chinese delivery guy, but it was nothing that would hold you back in comedy.
It was $60, $70 two, 3 nights a week just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
But it didn't take away from my fucking dream. At the time, I had two dreams. I wanted to stop being a criminal,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to become the best comedian I could fucking become. I didn't know how. I didn't fucking have the answer how. But it's funny. Friday night, we're at the Improv. You didn't come by.
No,
Friday
it was night, a Saturday, home, yeah.
And somebody came up to me I didn't never knew before and said, hey, man, what's up? And he was funny, you know, in his own way. And he goes, hey, man, Joey, what's happening? I listen to the podcast. Where's the fucking flying Jew? He goes, I just moved here from whatever, and I'm the funniest fucking guy. I need a guest set. I'll change. And it was funny that I looked at him, and he was goofing, but I know he was serious. You know, I couldn't give him a guest set. But I got in the car later that night, and I thought about something. There's two people in this town. There's people that have the look of being a star.
Okay.
And there's people that have the look of being a good comedian.
Okay.
In their eyes. You know, I never had to look in my eyes to be a star because I never thought I could reach it, and that's not what I'm into. I just had the look of being a good comedian. I wanted to earn. I wanted to yearn to learn how to be a good comedian. You don't know. Mm-hmm. A book doesn't teach you. And it's just like jujitsu. It's mat time. It's anything else. It's mat time. It's stage time. Got to get on fucking stage. And that's when I was doing comedy for those 2 years, and I was rocking and rolling. I had the business card, and I had the headshot. I was part-time in it. Mm-hmm. When I made the commitment was when everything became a lot clearer. And even then, I hadn't made a commitment. I was still fucking around. I wasn't. And as the better I got, the commitment got more intense. And it took me 20 years to get off the coke. It took me 17 years of doing comedy to get off the coke.
Yeah.
So don't even think I committed to that. I thought that was all part of the fucking lifestyle. Boy, was I wrong.
I know podcasts has changed both of our lives, but do you ever think that... It'd be interesting to see how many more new stand-up comics there are these past couple of years. Do you think all these podcasts are kind of hurting stand-up in a way because all these people are... Because it gets so glamorized on the podcast that everyone thinks they can do it. And it just seems like maybe... Because it makes everyone think they can do it.
We had this conversation, you and I.
We did?
Being a comic is a 20-fucking-year thing.
Oh, yeah.
A 10-year fucking thing. You know what? I before I got into podcasting, I was doing comedy 19 and a half years. That's 19 years of stages. That's not 19 years with a manager. That's 19 years of ugly stages, triple runs, you know, Buffalo, Rochester. You know, I don't give a fuck Utica, New York, where it's always fucking cloudy. Fuck Philadelphia. It's always fucking cloudy in Utica, New York. So, I had chops. I had legs, as you call them.
Oh, no. Business. I know you did, yeah.
You have movable objects. You know how to get in and out of it. You know how to say certain words. You know how to not to say two words, because comedy is not just about being funny. It's the word and how the word hits you. So, you have a thing. I've been on TV shows. And, like anybody else, I'll sit there and watch, what the fuck are they doing, and go, oh, I could do this. Are you with me here?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what, when I looked at podcasting, I looked at it as a forum for your comedy, but at the same fucking time, it's a forum for a show. They're not giving out developmental deals like they used to 50 fucking years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You want to develop a show? Develop a fucking podcast. It's the same fucking difference.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Marin a show off the fucking podcast. They gave Pete. Now, what happened to Pete's show?
They got re-picked up.
For what? For Conan?
For like another 3 months. They're picking it. It's weird. They're picking it up in like 3 month spurts. So I don't know.
That's crazy. It's not on no more.
It's on. It starts back in February.
Okay, because it's not on no more. So you know, all these shows are getting picked up from podcasts. So yes, there's a forum here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want you to think that you're gonna come in and 6 months do. Yeah, it's very hard. And some people's expectations. There's a lot that goes into this.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla's been around for a while. Joe Rogan's been around for 20 years. You know, fucking Reefer Man. He's been around for 20 fucking years. Mark Maron's been around for 20 years. Bill Burr's been around for 20 years. These are not guys that walked into a mic. And I remember doing a fucking... I remember doing a show in Miami last year for the Miami Comedy Festival. And Sirius was there. I don't give a fuck if they're listening or who the fuck's listening. They had some kid interview me, and it was the most awkward interview ever because it was a comic trying to be a comic that it wasn't a comic. He took an improv 101 class, and I could see the holes in his fucking game. And that's why when I came out here and I looked around, and even though I booked basketball in Bronx County, I said, it's time to go on the road, because what if this was what I figured out on my own? Nobody told me this. What if they put me on this? I was doing comedy 6.5 years when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, when I made this decision, I was doing comedy 8 years, and I was still slipping on stage. I had 20, 25 minutes. I could get away with whatever. I could fucking chuck and jive. But what if they put me in between a real comic like Nick DiPaolo and Doug Stanhope at the Improv? My holes are going to be that much bigger. Do you understand?
Yeah, you can see the difference.
So let me go prepare this. And the way to prepare this was I got the fucking mat time.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is,
I wish that you could just wake up one morning and get a microphone and get on a podcast
yeah.
and start talking shit. You know, I wish that it was like that. But as you know, it's not. It takes a lot of hard work and preparation, and it's a great transition from stand-up to a podcast, or from hosting to a podcast, or whatever the fuck it is that you want to do, whether you want to be a plumber and be a podcast. It's just personality and the truth. If you stick to personality and the truth, you can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. Personality and the truth. That's it. That'll always get you anywhere else. Even if you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing. As long as you just talk and make sure that what you're saying is the truth and how you feel. Who gives a fuck after that?
And it's funny how many podcasts haven't figured that out yet.
A lot of people haven't figured. There's people that are 90 walking around that they still want to walk around with an earring in their fucking nose to show everybody how cool the fuck they are. You understand me? God fucking forbid they took the earring off and just opened up themselves and said, this is who the fuck I am.
Yeah. No, I just want to get your opinion on it. So.
It's funny, my friend George Kolodinsky.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Went to a play last week. Okay. And he called back and I go, how was it? He goes, you know. He goes, it's fucking amazing that these are people that, and you ever go out with me at night, Lancashire? You ever drive on Lancashire at night, you see all these little theater groups.
Yeah.
You'll never see those people. And I don't mean nothing, no disrespect to any of them. They're part of a clique. They support each other. Mm-hmm. When they get off stage, they hug each other. They all have day jobs. They have a dream, but not really. They know where they stand in some way or another. I do not fault them, and they'll do this till they're 60.
Yeah.
They'll be part of a theater group, even though there's no theater in Los Angeles. You know, they want to get close to the edge, but they don't want to look over, and that's your prerogative. Me, whatever I do, I wanted to fucking go for it.
Yeah.
You know, he said they got off and people were hugging each other. He goes, the guy sang the worst song, and 9 people hugged him and told him it was great. It broke my fucking heart. Guy, we go through it all the fucking time. You know, they hug you, and now you're confused. Instead of somebody telling you, listen, that was a great joke, but this is where you need. And when I cut off stage, that's the first thing. I'm looking to tear a fucking set down like Saturday when you came. I'm looking to tear the fucking set down. But it's amazing how people want to put their feet in the water, but they don't want to jump in.
Well, that Saturday was probably a really good example of what doing it for 20, however many years you've done it, 20 years, got you, because you were so sick, and it was one of the better sets I've seen you do recently, just because you probably had no idea what you were saying.
Nothing. I had no fucking idea. I was doing old material, new material, YouTube material. I didn't know what the fuck I was saying, and I couldn't even, the timing was off. I felt like puking. Once I started sweating, I started getting anxiety on stage from getting sicker, and I can't do fucking the podcast this week, and I can't take a flight to Minneapolis on Thursday. And there's so many fucking things I couldn't do, you know, so that made it worse. I was thinking about that while I was spitting out my fucking set. And yeah, the 20 years of doing it, you know, gets you by a lot of times. But, and I'm talking in generalities here. I'm talking about anything you do, even if you fucking go to school, you know, just putting a little bit more effort. And that's all I did when I moved. For the first 2 years, I was putting minimal effort, and I was spanking bitches.
Okay, in Denver?
I think I told the story here when I came in second at the contest.
Yeah.
And there was a kid, and he had a writing class, and I didn't go to the writing class, and the kid was mad at me. And then a year later, not even a few months later, I had a T-shirt on at a comedy club, and he came up to me and he goes, look at you, why do you waste your time doing comedy? I told you about this. Some guy came up to me that was a writer. His name was Matt Woods, and he was from Long Island with a bunch of other guys. They were all friends at Roseanne Barr.
Okay.
And Matt Woods came up to me one night, and he goes, you know, I got to tell you something. Look at the fucking shape of you. He goes, you're coming here with a T-shirt on. Your nose is always fucking dripping. You don't think I fucking know what you do? He goes, half the shows they give you, you cancel. And he goes, the sad thing is you're the funniest guy out of all these guys, and a natural. He goes, if you put work into this shit, you'd be a killer. I mean, this guy just threw it at me fucking, to the point where my hands were clenching. I'm like, I'm going to have to smack this motherfucker. But I knew he wasn't drinking. That's what saved him. If he was drinking, I would have attacked him. And he said to me, he goes, bro, don't even do this anymore. If you put work into this, you would do something.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just coming down here and fucking getting on stage and improvising. This ain't you. He's buying time. That speech, I remember walking halfway to the bus and walking halfway back to knock him out. And getting on the bus, but he was telling me the truth, Lee. He was telling me the truth about my life. And I got on that bus, man, and I was fucking hot. I had Coke in my pocket. I was so hot, I wouldn't even fucking do it. I was so hot. I couldn't believe I had let somebody speak to me that way. But the reason why I didn't raise my hand was because he was telling me the fucking truth. He was breaking it down for me. He had this class on Tuesday that he would do for free, Lee. 3 hours. This guy wrote for fucking Roseanne. This guy wrote for fucking Seinfeld. This guy was a great writer. I never showed up. Why would I? Why the fuck would I? No, I needed it more than fucking anybody.
No, I know you didn't.
Yeah, yeah, but I didn't need it at the time in my head. Free. The Comedy Works paid for it. Free. Why would I fucking go down? I was too busy getting my powder together. You know, and then it's so funny. One of my favorite movies is The Pope of Greenwich Village, when he says, when the beginning, the first line of that movie, Mickey Rourke goes to pay the loan shark, and the loan shark says to him, "Oh, Scott O, how come nobody keeps me waiting when they're looking to borrow?" It's a great line. When you borrow, if I call you and go, "Lee, I need $10,000 tomorrow," what time will you be there, Lee? "I'll be there about 11. You bet your ass I'm going to be outside at 10:30 in the morning with my best suit on. When you walk up those stairs, hey, I'm going to have coffee for you. Wait till it turns out. Wait till it comes the day I got to pay you. And you say to me, what time are you going to be there tomorrow? 11. And I get here at 4:30. That's the expression. Nobody keeps me waiting when they're looking to borrow. You know, what was I talking about? I don't even know.
The writing class.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't fucking go to the writing class. I would never dream of...
Did he go after that conversation?
No, because I thought I was going to kill him. I thought I was going to fucking kill him. But it changed my life. The next morning when I woke up, I cried a little bit. He had told me the truth about some things. And then I fucking got my notebook. And this happened in 94. I saw him in 1997. He was with Brian Dunkelman. Remember Brian Dunkelman? He was the winner. And he got the job with...
I worked with Brian Dunkelman. He was the first host of American Idol. And I worked with him 2 or 3 years ago on this fucking... It was a terrible... like a paid TV slot. So they had a game show. But it would come out at like midnight when you have to pay for the slot yourself. Like, it's not like the TV network gave them a show. So he was terrible.
Oh, it was a fucking heartbreak. But Brian Dunkelman came in with him, and he was helping Brian Dunkelman. This is before American Idol, because Brian Dunkelman developed in Denver for a while.
Okay.
So it was at the Brave Bull. Rudy Moreno in those days used to broke the Brave Bull. And I had to follow this detective comic that used to go on stage and say, "Yeah, I like my women, I like my coffee with big tits." And all this kind of jokes like that. Funny guy, I forget what his name is, Daryl, Dwight, something. And fucking, I leveled this fucking room. Leveled it by mistake. It was my first time at Rudy's, and I wanted to make a good impression. I leveled the room, and when I got off stage, there was Matt Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who had given me the speech 3 years early. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we laughed, and he hugged me, and I go, "You don't know how close you came to fucking dying." And he goes, "I knew that night." But he goes, "I knew I had to get under your skin." He goes, "You were wasting your time. You were fucking wasting your time." And I was. I really was. In those days, you call the Comedy Works on Tuesdays, and they give you 3 minutes the next Tuesday. I would call at 12 o'clock, they'd give me the spot, and by 6:30, I'd cancel.
For the next week already?
I canceled that night at 6:30, and it killed them. It used to piss them off, you know? So when we talk about fear and shit, I was more, there's things you do for a while, but you just bullshit yourself. And then there's one day that it clicks, and you're like, okay, now I get it. And people, you know, a lot of questions are like, when does it start? When does anything start? Again, whether you're laying brick, whether you're bending pipe for a fucking electrician, whether you're fucking installing boards, whether you're, you know, flooring, whatever the fuck you're doing, roofing, you start somewhere. And one day it fucking clicks. You know, one day you're on a roof and you're like, "Oh, I get it, 3 inches. I shouldn't lay this sideways," you know, and you get it. And then you become better at your job and you enjoy it now because you're growing. It's weird what happens even you with editing, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's scary when you get to that point with something, but you know it's not what you want to do. And that's why it's scary for people to take that jump, because they might have gotten so comfortable with roofing and they can make enough money to have a nicer house, but they really want to do plumbing, let's just say. But then they're going to have to start at the bottom again. And they'll make mistakes. So it's that's I think the scariest part is when you get comfortable with something else. Which is why it's so great. I'm happy that I started. I'm still relatively young, even though I don't feel like I feel like 25 is old. But I'm happy that I'm starting now rather than 40 or 50.
Do you have any idea how young you are?
No.
How much life you have? You know, when I was 25, it was 19. So I'll just break it to you. When I was 25, it was 1988, right? I was born in 63. You know, and I thought it was the end of the world also. Once I got to be 25. You don't have a career. Most of your friends are coming out of school. Mm-hmm. You're dicking around. You know, at the time, what bought me my sanity was I was always taking at least 6 credits. I always did something that helped my sanity. That always kept me together. That no matter what I did, rob houses, snort blow, there was 2 nights a week. I was just Joey Diaz. I went and learned something because that made me feel a lot better about everything that was going on, you know? But man, 25 is fucking nothing. In reality, you still got 10 years to fuck around.
I know, I hope so. It doesn't feel like it, but we got a call coming. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
Hey, what's up, Joey?
Good morning, my friend.
How are you?
Good. David O'Donnell on the line here. I didn't even know your fucking last name was O'Donnell. I would have liked you even more. I thought you were just Irish and I loved you, but then when I found out your name was O'Donnell last night, I really fucking love you. I used to hang out with Whitey O'Donnell, good man.
Uh-huh.
Back in Jersey. His grandpa used to pick us up everywhere. We could be fucked up in Harlem at 6 a.m. with 3 Puerto Rican fucking half shemales. Call him up and he'd be there in 10. Pop-Pop would be there in 3 minutes with a bottle of gin. Drinking in one hand, driving with the other. Didn't give a fuck about the DUI in those days. There was no DUI.
Yeah, it was a different time.
A different fucking time. Bro, the reason why I had you call in today, I really want you to talk about kettlebells, because it's changed me. It's completely changed me. And, you know, again, like I told you last night, one night I was up in, what's the neighborhood when you get off of the 101 there, Los Feliz?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Los Feliz at that little theater district. What's the name of it? USB district?
UCB
theater. And I'm outside there. And I'm talking to these 3 girls and this one guy about comedy. And the one girl says to the one guy, "So you look like you lost weight. What have you been doing?" And this fucking schmuck answered. She goes, "Do you lift weights?" And he goes, No. "I do kettlebells." And he resumed back to his conversation with Chad, whatever the fuck they were talking about. And I always looked at kettlebells as a fad. And then right. I got into jiu-jitsu. And I realized how fucking weak I was. And I went online and I knew that YouTube offers everything nowadays. They'll teach you how to make a fucking anything. But I knew that in the tapes, I wouldn't see the little things. So I went online and I found you. And I've been involved with you now, what, for 5 months? 4 months? 5 months?
Yeah, something like that, yeah, and you've made some really good improvements, so yeah, it's good.
So I went online last night, and I think you're so interesting, Dave, when I go to the classes, and I just want you to break down this heavy style of kettlebells for me, or whatever exists.
Well, it's called hard style.
Hard style.
There's 2 different types. There's the hard style, and then there's people that do kettlebell sport, and it's a little different. They actually do kettlebells to train, to compete in kettlebell lifts. Where what we're doing at our gym is for so you have everyday life, you can, you know, be functional, feel strong, and, you know, move better and be healthy, you know. And the way hard style works is it's applicable to, there's what they call it, a what the hell effect, where it carries over into any sports or life activities. So like you with the jiu-jitsu, it'll help your jiu-jitsu game, you know, understanding your body better and just moving and breathing better and just feeling strong.
You know, like anybody else, we have, you know, when we were growing up, all we had was a fucking encyclopedia. And you went in there and that was the end-all, be-all, you know. Now, right. With online, you have all these things, and I'm one of those people that I like to read. So before I called you, I read about it, and like the swings, they fucking burn 20 calories a swing or some shit.
Yeah, up to 20 to 22, I guess, depending on
20
the study.
To 22
per minute. Yeah,
per minute. That's swimming is what, 7 calories?
I'm not. Yeah, I think they say it's equivalent to like a cross country skiing or something like that. The amount of energy expended per minute.
It was just not, you know, when we were kids, they said jump and rope. If you jump rope for 5 minutes, it was equal to 20 minutes of jogging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, it's 10 minutes of jump and rope equals 30 minutes. Yeah, 30 so minutes I guess it's something around there.
So now, you know, I looked at that, and part of the struggle is to lose weight. Part of it is to raise the metabolism. Part of it is to get stronger. And fucking kettlebells do all that.
That's true. And the thing, like I've told you or I'll tell other people is, you know, everyone's so worried about losing weight. And I said that if you train with like a kettlebell and you're just focusing on wellness and getting better, the byproduct is you lose weight. It's like, don't get focused on just losing weight, but actually feeling better. And you could correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you're breathing, you're feeling better breathing, and just your overall vitality. You're just feeling a lot better, right? And as that happens, you know, you start losing weight and, you know.
I feel great. I feel the results have been, you know, went from 0 to 60 in my jiu-jitsu. I still wake up with a hard-on, which is big at 50. That's the fucking bottom line. That's the bottom fucking line because at my age, I'm trying to get the testosterone going. It keeps you healthier. It didn't work for me to go down there and take a shot. You know, I've been able to make two of your classes per week now since day one, and it's really been like last week was fucking hard. Like, I think the deadlifts, I was doing them, they were too heavy, and I wasn't doing I wasn't sticking to my form.
Right.
I was going to work on that today. But every week I'm sore, and I get something from the class, and I can feel that I'm fucking stronger.
Well, you are, because what you're doing, too, with the kettlebell is once you start understanding the movement pattern, you're connecting your body because, like the deadlift, that's a whole body movement, and that's how we kind of, the kettlebell does. It's all like compound movement. So you're learning to use your whole body as one instead of just a compilation of parts. So definitely helps you connect your body and you feel stronger because you're moving better.
What I like about your training system is that all these CrossFit gyms are fucking opening up now. You go on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City, and they got these fucking kids out there jumping up and down on Ventura fucking Boulevard throwing weights around. When you and me were growing up, we had to go out and fucking pick a fight with a Puerto Rican 10 neighborhoods away. That's how you got your fucking cardio. You hit somebody with a chair, you ran 10 miles, you jumped 3 fences. You lost your fucking shoe. Now they got a CrossFit to get in fucking shape, these cocksuckers, right? So your gym focuses on two things. They focus on the TRX method, which is also very beneficial, and the kettlebell, which a lot of people don't do. And that's what I really, you guys just focus on it, and we grow from the kettlebell.
It's just a simple tool to use, and nothing against CrossFit. It has a lot of good modalities, but it seems there's a lot of risk for the amount of reward you get. You know, there's a lot of injuries because they're doing so many different exercises trying to find a way to be fit or compete and exercise, I guess, whereas we just focus on 6 basic movements and making sure we're moving well. We're not worried about how many reps we do. It's how many reps we do well, you know. So it's a little different philosophy. So that's another reason you're having good benefits, because you're focusing on basic movements and owning them and then just getting stronger with them within them, and then it'll apply to anything else you try to do in life. Like I'll tell people, like, your golf game will get better if you're a good golfer, but if you suck at golf, you'll still suck at golf. You know what I mean? But if you're decent, you'll get better. It'll improve your game. Or whatever sport, if you're a football player, or say you play baseball. I train this pitcher, and he's good. He's gotten better from using the kettlebell. So, you know, it's applicable to whatever you do.
And I mean, I liked how you, anywhere you go today, I think everybody moves too fast and they look at the buck. And I really respected that about you, that you took two classes to sit me down and show me the movements. Because I know fucking people now that are just going on YouTube because they're broke. They want to save 15 fucking bucks, and they end up twisting a shoulder fucking thing. And now they lose work for a year, and they do this because they didn't want to learn to do something properly the first time.
Because that's true. And that's one thing I say about YouTube. Like, I'll tell that to people at the gym. It says, wait till you look at you before you go back on YouTube. Let's learn the movements, get them down, and then go back and look at YouTube. Because there are some really good instructors, you know, that put up posts on the YouTube. But then you'll see some people like, what the hell are they doing? Like, so it's best to just come in. You know, there's no contracts. We don't do it at our gym. It's very laid back, because I really believe it's about you and meeting your body where it's at and going from there and not getting caught up in, I got to be doing this and that, da 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 da. It's like, just, you know, so just a different philosophy than a lot of places. You know, I'm not just worried, oh, I just want to make a buck. It's like, no, I want people to get well. We're training to be better.
You know, you took the time, and that meant a lot. And it's so funny how people don't know when you watch those videos. Let's pretend we're talking about the clean and press, for example.
Yeah.
And when you clean, you're doing something in between the clean and the press that you don't see on YouTube. Once you get that habit in, that bad habit, you're never going to get rid of it.
Right. Yeah, so once that's the thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's the other thing, that once you get into those bad habits, when you're around somebody who's doing it correctly, you're going to tear something in your shoulder eventually.
Right.
So this is why I really enjoyed what you did. You took some time out. You know, it's not like you threw me in the fucking corner like an orphan. You know, you set up a time on a different day, and it was very different than what people are doing today.
Yeah, well, that's, I think a lot of people get into training people for the wrong reasons, you know. I don't know. I just feel like if we can help somebody realize where they're at and go from there, they'll keep training. But if I just give you a one size fits all, what I have you do to somebody else at the gym, like I'm trying to think of somebody that's doing something a little different than you. That new girl, there's a new girl I joined, Elisa. I'm not gonna give her the same thing. You guys, two different people, two different paths, but they'll be similar but different. You know, like, she has certain things she needs to address, and you need certain things, like your shoulders are getting better, but it didn't take our time with that. That's where you have a little shoulder restriction. Why am I going to force you to do things that your shoulders aren't ready to do just yet? But if we just take our time with it, you'll be able to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I also like the less is more concept of your gym. I like
absolutely.
So many things that fit. You know, when you think of working out, you think of an hour and a half. And that intimidates a lot of people, especially a lot of fucking newbies. Like,
yeah.
An hour and a half, I got a hard time walking up my fucking steps. But
right.
When I go to you, I do a listen, I judge a workout on my fucking T-shirt. Okay? It's on your fucking T-shirt. When I hit the bag, I don't go home till it's the sweat, it's my waist. When I'm on the fucking thing, I don't go home to the what. There's times that you're like, all right, man, you're done for the day. And I go, what the fuck? And I go in the mirror, and my face is red, my eyeballs are beaming, and my shirt's drenched to my underwear. And it seemed like we didn't really do much.
Yeah, well, less is more. It's true. But that's the other thing when, like, I know sometimes you're like, that's it. When you say that, it's like, yeah. And you're like, well, I was like, that's all we need to do today. Well, we're going to keep doing something that when we don't need to do it, just do what you need to do. And that, I think that's a problem with people, why they stop training or they start training. They'll go to the gym for a month, and they're in there for, like you said, an hour and a half, you know, they're going 5 days a week. And then a month later, they're done, you know, whereas 20 minutes, half hour, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. And, you know, that's more manageable for people, and you'll get good results as far as feeling well. And when I tell that to people when they come in, it's like, I only need to come 3 times a week. It's just, yeah. Can I come more? Sure, if you want to, but you don't have to. You know, it's, people think they got, you know, more is better. No, more is just more, you know? So, I don't know.
No, you have a great way of training people, man, and I love you personally, and I wanted to get you on here because I think you have an interesting thing over there. I wouldn't just ask you to ask you.
I appreciate that, Joey. Yeah, and same to you. And I'm glad you're there. It's fun, but I actually enjoy, you know, training with you. It's a lot of fun.
Oh my God, this time, and you know, you got girls on fucking ropes, and you know, it's just stuff that you haven't done. Like when I yearn to be able to do a fucking pull up. I never got that president's patch because I couldn't do the pull up at the YMCA in the Bronx. Remember the fucking school would come. You had to do pull ups and sprints and shit.
I
see some girls in your class that are fucking throwing up weights that are amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at their form, you know, because when I first got a kettlebell, I went over to Big Five and I bought a 10-pound. And I'm like, this is fucking heavy. And I tried to do a swing and I'm like, oh, I can't do this with 10 pounds. I went to see you and you handed me this balloon. I'm like, what the fuck? But then I got involved. You're like, you got to push your heels down and all this. And then you see where the movement, I see these skinny girls throwing up weights, and that inspires me because it makes me know eventually I could do a fucking pull-up, you know?
Yeah, and then you will be able to, you know, it's just being patient, meeting your body where it's at, and if that's something you want to do, it's definitely achievable. It's not like, oh, I had a guy, Daniel, who struggled to do 2 pull-ups when he came in. He can do 15 now, and so it's just a matter of being patient, you know, learning about your body and how, because a lot of people don't really know their body. Like they're not in their body. They're just like, you know, tired or stiff. But with the way we train, you get really connected and aware of your body, and then good things happen.
You know, it's amazing how I'm 50 and this program really works for me, a guy like me. You know, it's like I'm a big businessman, but I travel for comedy.
Yeah.
I come here 2 days a week. If I didn't have to travel, I could probably hit your class 3 times a week. I could probably hit the 3 9:30 a.m. classes and 9 a.m. classes.
Right.
And I would feel great as a senior, you know, going into my fucking glory years, whatever the fuck they call them.
Twilight years.
I can't imagine being young and going down there like a fucking Lee. We got to get you down there, cuz.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mr. O'Donnell, I'm 25.
Time out. Just call me Dave.
All right.
I'd prefer that.
Well, Dave, I'm 25, and I haven't been in shape for a single day of being 25. So, like, is this something someone could do for, like, who's never worked out ever?
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm with this. What's your name? I'm sorry.
Lee,
that's cool. I like to think of not working out, but training. So we're training our body to be better, to move better. So, yes, you can train your body to do what it's meant to do and how it's meant to move. So, absolutely. So if you want to come down, it'd be great to meet you.
Definitely.
And do some training. So, yeah. So that's the other thing. Like, oh, you go to the CrossFit. What a great workout. We had the workout of the day. And it's like, okay, I guess. Well, we just train. We're going to go in and train and meet our body where it's at each day and train it to be better.
No, it's what you guys do down there. And the webpage is gotbells.com.
Yeah.
And you go down there, you see what the fuck you got. They have the intro package. You come in, you do some jumping jacks, and fucking Dave will...
Yeah, we'll get you sorted out and, you know, and hopefully you like what we have to say and how we do things. And
I wasn't intimidated when I walked in. You know, I wasn't intimidated. As you know, that the other people in the class, they're involved in other athletic venues. I mean, there's people in the class that are healthy as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, the girls are healthy as fuck. They're like, Jesus Christ. You know, we're going to leave here and go run 8 miles up Glendale Pass or whatever. And you're like, Jesus. But it inspires you, man. It makes you feel better about yourself. And Dave, I never thought I would be doing kettlebells. Now, when I go to a hotel, like this weekend, I'm in a hotel in Minneapolis, and I looked.
Uh-huh.
The gym is beautiful. Not one fucking kettlebell. So, you know, and some gyms have kettlebells. There's a gym in San Francisco that has kettlebells. And where the fuck was I? When I first joined up in your class, that next week I went somewhere. And they had a kettlebell and fucking TRX.
Right.
At a hotel. Right. And I was like, damn, look at this. But I didn't really know what I was doing. I did the TRX. I didn't mess with the kettlebells.
And that's what's cool about the TRX, too. Like, wherever you go, you can take it with you. That's their whole mantra, fitness anywhere. So if you don't have one at a hotel, you can bring one with you, you know.
Now, what's the big difference between the TRX and the kettlebell for people?
Well, the kettlebell, you know, you're using a weight and you're moving it around. With a TRX, you're just moving your body, but you're using as much or as little of your body for resistance. So any exercise you think you can do at a gym, you can use the TRX, and you're never sitting down, so you basically your core is activated all the time. So that really complements the kettlebell, the two working together. So,
you know, one thing you told me when I first started going to your class, you said that one thing you'll definitely get out of this is your hips will be stronger.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. It feels like I'm walking on stilts sometimes.
Right.
Like that's
the... Yeah, you feel taller.
You feel taller sometimes. Like it's adjusted something. Those you told me that you go, after a while, you're going to see that your hips. And, you know, when you come out of the shower, I even can see my dick now. It lifted everything up. You know what I'm saying? So kettlebells are good for fucking... So if you want to get in shape, Dave, man, I'll see you today. I want to thank you for calling. Just enlighten people a little bit on, what options they have to them. And you can be any fucking age, right, Dave? Tell them.
Any age, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's just a willingness to train. And don't think injuries or where you're at or if you're out of shape, like Lee said, he hasn't trained. Don't let that limit you, you know. Just say, okay, I'll meet my body where it's at and we'll go from there. And good things can happen.
What's the oldest guy you've trained, Dave?
Oh, I've trained somebody in the 70s, so it doesn't matter. You know, 73, was he? 73, yeah. So it doesn't matter, you know, and injury-wise, that doesn't matter, too. It's you learn to meet your body where it's at with the injury, and you go from there. Like, you modify things. And say, all right, well, I'll start here, and we'll slowly, you know, progress. You know, so you don't have to, you know, be dead. You know, while you're alive, you could be fully alive and moving and feeling good. So
you're a good fucking man, my friend. I love you, Dave.
Well, thank you for having me, Joe.
Irish man, I wanted you to open up. You know, you got a good service over there. And if anybody lives in the area and you're looking to really learn kettlebells and the patois, you know, I'm just a fat fuck, but Dave will whip you into shape, Jack. Jiu-jitsu, if you want to jump through walls, whatever the fuck you want to do, Dave will hook you up.
We'll try.
And RT, and they got 6 a.m. classes and 9 a.m. classes and, you know, Tuesday night classes and Monday night classes. So there's always somebody there for you whenever you want to do so.
That's right.
I love it. I'm a member for life. Fuck it.
Thank you, Joey. Bells. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. D, and I'll see you this morning, brother.
All right. And Lee, nice talking with you.
No, I'll talk to you soon.
I'll bring this cocksucker down there with me. We'll beat up this little Jew.
All right, sounds good.
All right, you got it.
Have a
good one,
guys.
You got it.
Bye.
What's up,
How do you always find these guys from the East Coast? It's like he could have been your friend from when you were 8. I don't know how you do it. Like everybody we talk to, it's like you are just go towards like East Coast guys. Like,
well, he. He was very interesting. You know, when I called him, he was very nice on the phone. I made an appointment with him, and I couldn't make it. I had an audition. I felt really embarrassed, but I called him like a man, and he was like, "Dog, I understand. This is Hollywood." Blah, blah, blah. And just everything about his demeanor. I did go to a place by my house, and I didn't like it at all. It was a little bit too polished, a little bit too Christian for a gym. And it was maybe different, less money. You know, it was something I didn't like about the place. I liked that this guy was honest. He was real. John Evan is one of my jiu-jitsu coaches. John Budd, John Evan, and Marcelo DiNapoli, whatever, is DiPaola, is the black belt. The reason why I like John Evan so much is because I asked John Evan at a competition my first month. I said, "You think I could be doing that in 6 or 7 months?" He goes, "Maybe a year and a half." My feelings were hurt for 2 seconds. But the guy was telling me the truth.
Yeah. And that's a big thing. That's the second time it's come up today. Is like, just tell people the truth.
Tell them the fucking truth. Who gives a fuck? You know, who gives a fuck if mama would have, you know, you just got to tell people the truth sometimes, and that means the world to me. You know, these people, yeah, come in, this will help you, and you go in there, and they don't put any time or stock into you, hurt your fucking feelings, man. You know, I know you want to get in shape, and I know you don't know where to start. You're like every other American. You don't know. Are they going to laugh at me? What's going to happen when I go in there? How bad a shape am I really? Because what we tell ourselves is that, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not in shape for this. Mm-hmm. I'll get in shape on my own. That's what we always tell ourselves. I'll get in shape on my own and go in there. Well, I'll tell you what. You're never going to get in fucking gym shape. You're never going to get in karate shape. You're never going to get in jiu-jitsu shape until you go to these things. Fuck. I thought I was going to kickboxing and doing the whole hour and a half. All right? When I tell you an hour and a half, you go to kickboxing, you do calisthenics, you run around the fucking gym, then they make you do rounds. You know, you kick pads, you hold pads, you kick pads, you hold pads. Then after that, you got to fucking spar for rounds. I was doing the whole class. It took me like 4 months to get up to that level of breathing. When I went into jiu-jitsu, it was like I was starting from fucking scratch. Like, I was huffing and puffing after 10 fucking seconds. And I thought I was in shape from the kickboxing. But everything requires different muscles. And the endurance levels change, so that's what happens, you know? So you never, even if I walk around this fucking neighborhood in 8 minutes flat, it's not going to be jiu-jitsu shape until I go to jiu-jitsu, you know? It's not going to be kettlebell shape until I go to kettlebell. And that's the fear we have. We always have that fear. I'm going to go, I'm going to fail. Listen, bro, the only fear you have and the only failure you have is if you don't fucking go.
Yeah.
If you don't go. Even if you drive the first time, look and pull away. I've done it 1,000 times, man.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you kidding? I'm the king of that shit. Pull up and go, this ain't for me. But then on the first line on the way home, after the class starts, I felt bad about myself. I said to myself, hey, I'm not a fucking loser. I could have walked in there. That's pussy shit that I didn't walk in there. And I'll feel so fucking guilty, I'll be in there the next morning for the first fucking class. That's how I am. I've done that 10 times. Or you look and you get the fuck, these motherfuckers. There's black people in there.
It's true.
It's fucking true. But who gives a fuck? Just go. Go, look, nothing. You leave, you come back the next day and you go, who the fuck are them to fucking scare me? Who the fuck is anybody to fucking scare me? Who the fuck? Who the fuck, Lee?
Goddamn right.
I'm going to go down there, I'm going to huff and puff, and I'm going to sit in the back of the classes, and as time progresses, I'm going to move up, and eventually someday some guy's going to look, come in, and he's going to be the same guy I was 6 months earlier when I was huffing and puffing in the corner, and you're going to look at him and shake his hand and go, dog, you could do this. I'm telling you, dog, I was dying in here. I was seeing stars in the back and Martians and shit. Let me give some shout-outs to these fucking people here.
All right.
The Good Guy Badges, I love you. JQ, Sean Cleary, Owayne Bloom, that guy's got to be black. Richard Garcia, Zach Kemp, and Keith Spurlock. I love you motherfuckers. I want to thank Dave O'Donnell again for calling. Go to gotbells.com. He'll help you out. And if you need more fucking help, that's the other thing. You know, when I first started going to all these things, I wouldn't take the on it because I wanted to see what my thing. I would just take 3 heart aspirins, you know, those little orange aspirins for the heart, baby medication. And then after a while, I would take the on it just to experiment to see how far I've gotten with the kettlebells. And it's a different. The problem with the on it shroom tech is that you have to take an hour before you go to your thing.
Okay.
And it takes like a half hour to get kicked up. So it usually kicks up as he's saying, you're done. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I just took those fucking shroom techs. I'm going to eat the fucking wall here now. So that's what happens sometimes. Listen, I don't fuck around with people. I don't bullshit nobody. You're having some hard... It's resolution. Everybody's having a hard time at the fucking gym. Go to Onnit.com. Start with the Hemp Force fucking chocolate protein or the acai milkshake. You don't want to do that? That's fucking fine. At least try the fucking Alpha Brain. But don't be a fucking mook. Go with the Shroom Tech. At least get the Shroom Tech Sport just to see how those fucking mushrooms affect you. You're going to feel fucking great in your workout. Go to Onnit.com. Go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to the Onnit box. Press in the code word
CHURCH.
CHURCH and get fucking 10%, 20%, I don't know what the fucking percentage is. They're going to take good care of you. Not only that, for 20% a month, they'll give you 20% discount if you get the shipping program where every month on the fucking month, they send you your package, whether it has Shroom Tech, a kettlebell, whatever. I told you motherfuckers, I went to the Big Five Sporting Goods over here, and it's more expensive for their kettlebells than what you get it shipped from fucking Onnit. You're looking for kettlebells, go to Onnit, whatever. They help you out. They also have a sweepstakes. for the fight with Robbie Lawler and Fidel in Dallas. It ends February 28th. But go to onyx.com sweepstakes and enter now. You can win a training session with Mike Dolce and a bunch of fucking Onyx products on the arm. Just like that. That's how we roll. So go to onyx.com today. Also, I want to give a shout out to another fucking sponsor of mine who I love. I've never gotten a complaint about these guys. Hulu fucking Plus. Hulu Plus. I ain't going to tell you again, people. You know, you're sitting there at night, you're fucking watching whatever the fuck you watch, you're scratching your head. It's the same shit every fucking night on the TV. They just scramble it to different channels. Thank God there's a couple fucking channels that are okay. Every fucking night you sit there like a mutt. What am I going to watch? This shit could all end. For $7.99 a month, you could have fucking Hulu Plus rocking. You understand me? Rocking. They got everything. Original programming, TV shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They got everything on there. Movies, documentaries. Why are you fucking around with yourself? You get 2 weeks on the arm just to check it out. 2 weeks for free. Nobody. When was the last time a chick said, I'll suck your dick for 2 weeks, and then we'll decide if you want to marry me? Nobody does that shit no more. So, go to fucking Hulu Plus. Go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to the Hulu Plus box, press in
Joey.
J-O-E-Y. Get you 2 weeks for fucking free and $7.99 a month after that. That's how I fucking roll here. You understand me? You're like, Joey, why are you being so nice today? Because it's Wednesday. Anything could fucking happen today. That's why I'm being so fucking nice. Why do you have to ask so many fucking questions? So the name of the game is today, Onyx.com and fucking Hulu Plus. Get your shit together. Get what's coming to you. You understand me? I know it's cold. It's snowing. Break out the hot fucking cocoa and the Black Sabbath. Get some fucking reefer and stop some fucking crying bitches. Where's the Black Sabbath at?
Well, I'll get some.
A little fucking Tomorrow's Dream. Something with some. Or Children of the Grave. Fuck these motherfuckers. It's Wednesday. I need you fired up. I need you to go out there and get what's fucking coming to you. With that said, school's back in session, bitches. If you're not back in school, you're slipping. If you're not reading the fucking New York Times, you're slipping. If you're not doing jumping jacks, you're slipping. And if you're not smoking reefer, you're slipping too, cocksucker. What? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Fucking getting down Wednesday, January 22nd. Write your goals down. Wash your pussy. Paint your fingernails. Do something. Do something. The fuck? Motherfuckers be slipping and shit. Minneapolis, it's freezing. It's fucking freezing up there, and I'm coming. So get your shit together, get your galoshes, get your winter boots, do what you need to do. I got a show tomorrow night at 7:30, Friday night 7:30 and 9:30, fucking Saturday 9:30. And I don't want to hear shit. I'm coming up there, it's cold, it's 92 fucking below. Bring your penguin night. It's Saturday night, bring your fucking penguin night. You like that, Lee?
I love it.
We had a cancel a live podcast on the 29th up at the Ice House, because I'm shooting Wednesday night, so my apologies when we were scheduled. So that's it. You got me in fucking Minneapolis, then I'm home for 4 weeks doing jumping jacks, kettlebelling it like a fucking motherfucker, getting yoked up, drinking Hemp Force milkshakes, and watching Hulu Plus for 4 weeks. What's up, cocksucker?
Not much. I had a couple of great days of new podcasts with Jerry Rocha and Rick Ramos.
Listen, nobody remembers when we first started the church. We were talking to you about movies.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I'm going to tell you guys the truth, because I always tell you the fucking truth, even when I lie. So, we'll give you little movie reviews, and I would pop up older movies for you guys. And some young guys said, go fuck yourself, Grandpa. And some guys said, Joey, we love it. We never heard of this movie, never saw this movie, so I appreciate it. But after a while, I felt I wasn't doing you guys a disservice, because I hadn't really seen these movies in 10 years. I was making a list for you guys and going from memory. And that's not fair to you guys. And I'll tell you why else it wasn't fair to you motherfuckers. Because a savage like Rick Ramos was walking around. Rick was working at the time or going to school. So I really couldn't have Rick on at 6 in the morning, you know, to call in. It just doesn't make sense. Rick is an on-the-tap motherfucker. But I know one thing about Rick. I know that he knows his fucking movies. I know that he goes to fucking 3 or 4 movies every week. I know he's on speed dial with all these fucking movie houses around here with the old movies and who's going to show up. When it comes to movies, bro, if you want to know about something, what's the name of his podcast?
Watch This.
Watch This with Rick Ramos, Tuesdays on Ustream, or download it on fucking iTunes once the party gets started.
It'll be up tonight.
You're not gonna be fucking sorry. I give you my word. This is, when it comes to movies, man, I've listened to podcasts and I've watched all these services. And there's some people who know, but there's some people who do it to be cute. Rick Ramos does it because he knows fucking movies. This is going to be an entertaining fucking podcast. So watch This every fucking Tuesday, all right?
That's every fucking Tuesday, and then This Is How Big of a Nerd I Am with Jerry Rocha, Mondays at 10.
No, Jerry, 10 years. I used to snort coke all night in El Paso. I'd wake up, call Jerry, and he'd be at some comic book store jumping up and down with a bunch of fucking clowns.
He told us you met, and he had figurines, and then you made fun of him, but then you also knew who each of the figurines was.
Sure, you gotta know what the fuck.
And then, of course, Flying Jew Radio with D'Agostino every Tuesday, 8 in the morning. So, we have a whole bunch of shows for you now.
We're coming to the fucking network here. We ain't fucking around no more. Why? I got these people. They got good knowledge behind them. It's not like I'm gonna put a bunch of fucking jamokes around you. You got good knowledge. That's all you fucking need. One guy's a fucking nerd. He plays with figurines. He listens to music. He don't smoke dope. That's a fucking nerd. And the other guy just watches movies and don't do nothing. I'm giving you two fucking complete savages. Did I tell you this reefer was beautiful today on a fucking Wednesday morning?
You haven't yet.
I'm telling you now for the first time. I don't even smoke with you no more. I don't want you to get me sick. I'm not coughing.
No, it's almost gone. Oh, and then also, Steve Stamone's podcast is about to start. So check that out.
Another fucking savage in heat. Did I tell you we ordered a fucking tin of cookies from Tiramina in Philadelphia the other day?
What's Tiramina?
The best fucking... it's fucking Simone's Neighborhood Bakery.
Oh, I love it. He took me to the Italian sandwich shop up in Encino.
What'd you eat?
He's not even fat, but it was the fat man special. We each got a different sandwich and we split it in half. So we got roast beef with hot peppers and cheese. And then we got chicken parm and split that.
How was the chicken parm?
It was good, but the roast beef with the hot peppers was fucking
delicious. A little vinegar and oil.
Yep.
Come on, huh? With some lettuce and tomato.
No, fuck just, it. Just hot just peppers. Cheese, hot peppers.
Oh yeah, that's a death sandwich right there. It goes right to your fucking liver.
Oh my god.
It just lets out fucking fat cells. It's all over. You're pissing fat cells.
I was
you
so happy.
Piss on somebody that gained 10 pounds.
I was so happy when we were driving up. He's like, "Listen, these are the best sandwiches you're ever gonna have. Let's split it." And I would never used to do that, but I was like, okay.
Last time I was in there, I got so fucking agitated because Joe Whiteman was in there with a bunch of sandals on. The whitest guy in America ordered a fucking turkey sandwich. No shit. You could have gotten this at Ralph's guy. You're wasting our fucking time. And he wanted it as white as can be, like turkey on white bread. That's it. And he's pissed about the amount of turkey. I was ready to take the guy and throw him out the fucking window. Because he was Joe fucking white bread. Yeah, 20,000, he could have got that white man fucking deli over at the Rouse. They give you all the turkey you want with no flavor. He's over there wasting his fucking time over there at the fucking Italian deli. Showing his big fucking disgusting toes. Eating a turkey sandwich, you fat fuck. You know, turkey on, let me get turkey on. We eat with a smile. Get the fuck out of here with that fucking tofu special. Go fuck yourself.
You tofu special.
You might as well go rub fucking tofu in your face. Tofu and hummus. And rub it on your fucking face. Ooh. And shit. Look at you.
God. You said hummus and I got a little bit weak in the knees.
Yesterday I took my wife to eat this gyro place. And they have a regular gyro. And then I said to her, "What's the Yoo-Hoo gyro? The one up?" She goes, "That one, we take a flatbread and we put hummus." And I go, "Stop right there."
Goes, I would love that.
She goes, "Why? You do not like hummus? I don't like you either." But I gotta eat the fucking gyro, so just bring it and shut the fuck up. She brought me a great smoothie, though. Great place.
What is
just
it?
Just when she said, I don't know what the fucking name of it is. You know me, I don't ask questions. I've just been there before. I took the Agostino there last week for a gyro.
What's with the questions?
What's with the fucking questions, man? I don't need these fucking questions.
I love it.
I'm still a little sick, though. My wife has got it. My wife was fucking sick yesterday. I felt so bad. The fucking kid's got it. The kid had it Monday. Little 18 fucking year old baby. She's barfing from the living room just looking at me. She didn't know what was going on. I felt so fucking bad. But that's what happened now with these fucking flus and this shit. But that was terrible for a couple days.
So you don't think it was the Taco Man?
Nah. I think it was a bug. Some type of bug. I think that, like I said, I wore myself a little fucking thin last week. I didn't know. And sometimes without the sleep and the fucking weights and the kettlebells, and I wore myself a little thin. So I gotta look out a little bit after that. You gotta look after yourself, you know. Sometimes we overlook, we think that we're working or whatever, and we look, and then you end up getting sick. So the law of diminishing returns. You made a little money, and I gotta take 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
To earn. So
no. And then you lose everything you had gained.
You lose everything. You gotta start from scratch, and you know when you go to work out, you're breathing. So look at this. Look at this fucking guy. Jesus Christ. Could you imagine you take a hit of hash?
Look at the smoke in here.
You want to take a hit of hash?
No.
You sure? I got some hash for you.
I'm going to have to start scraping that. If anyone knows how to get the weed smell out of a room, please let me know.
Why? Does it smell like weed?
Oh, God. People walked in here yesterday. They were like, who is smoking? I was like, Joey smoked on Monday. No.
We'll open this door and we'll fucking spray it good. We'll take the furniture out. We'll spray the carpet because some of it went in the carpet. We gotta fucking cut the carpet and crazy glue it over here like a Puerto Rican because I burnt it. Then they'll find out after you get the deposit, fuck them by that time. Or you spray paint the carpet. We'll steam it.
Okay.
And then you just spray paint over the burn mark.
What do you spray paint?
With the color of the fucking carpet.
With actual paint?
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with, dog?
Oh my God.
You get touch-up paint. They're never gonna look at the carpet individually. They're gonna stop over here. They're gonna make sure you steamed it and vacuumed it. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with here? Come on now. Or you take some nail polish this color and you nail the fucking burn mark. Come on. Who the fuck do you think? You think you're dealing with some fucking novice here? Some fucking guy from the corner? Selling sweaters? No, you got flavor here. Let's smoke this joint and we'll get the fuck out of here.
You know? All
right. Sounds good. It'll be a lie. What are we going to do? Sit here and talk to these motherfuckers? They want to go home too.
No, they don't. They love it.
I love fucking reefer. It's making a comeback. Fucking people talking about it now. They're making money in Colorado. They're saying, wait, we're making more money off this shit than the fucking gays getting married.
I was gonna say, do you have any plans to go to Denver soon?
No, I lived in fucking Denver when I lived in Denver.
Well, I know, the new comedy. Listening.
No, I got nothing. My mind is in fucking hell right now. What are you fucking Denver for? My mind is Denver.
I don't know. It'd be cool to buy legal weed, I think.
So you can walk into any store with no license, nothing?
Yeah. No license. You have to show your regular license. But apparently it's like 3 times as expensive. And then they still have the medical weed, which is cheaper. But yeah, you can walk in anywhere now. They have tours. They have like fucking limo tours around. Like it's like a wine country.
Why don't you move up to Denver and give people tours, get a little bicycle?
I don't smoke weed that much.
Guess what, bitch?
What?
We're back on Monday. We're going to get back on the fucking torch of life, doing bong hits, eating gummy bears. You forgot we got these here and shit. Don't make me.
No, I never forgot.
Hold on. There was like 10 of them here. Somebody's been eating these. Not to strangle you, cocksucker.
Wasn't me.
You been eating these?
No.
Don't lie to me. I haven't eaten one. I think I ate an edible Sunday, yeah, to sleep a little bit.
Whenever I take an edible, I can always feel myself, like, the spit going down. So I just knew being sick, it would freak me out if I was high like that.
Yeah, I got high the other day on an edible, and that was it. It's been good lately. I've been in tip-top shape. I'm trying to keep everything composure.
You do that for everything, for, like, working out and being high. You go in cycles of things, and it's not. I don't think it's even based on anything. I think once you get bored of it, you're like, all right, something new.
Yeah, I gotta go. Yeah. I gotta go. No, I'm ready for heroin again. I'm ready for 2 lines of some Chinese fucking heroin from Chinatown.
Oh my God. What do you think that would do to you if you actually started doing...
I would shoot myself. I couldn't do nothing now. My head... I thought about that the other day. I thought about what would happen to me now. Listen, I would do a line of coke and I wouldn't die. But everything would end. I made a promise. You know, I made a promise. Mm-hmm. I didn't make a promise to my mom. I didn't make a promise to some priest. I didn't make a promise to a spiritual leader. I made a promise to myself. Mm-hmm. And that promise took me a long way. So for me to break that promise, it would just be, I would still stay alive. And I'd probably live for 20 years, and I'd probably, the last 20 years of my life would be miserable. I'd lose my daughter. I'd lose my wife. I'd lose it all, you know.
You think one line of coke would do that to you?
Yeah, I made a promise.
Wow.
I was raised on promises. You know, in Cuba, they have San Lazaro, and his birthday is December 17th. And what you do is, his color is purple. So if your knees hurt, or you want your daughter to get better, or a family member, you make a promise to San Lazaro that you'll wear purple for a year, every day, in some of your clothing. Purple socks, purple jeans, purple shirt, purple jacket, purple hat. You know, those are little things you do that nobody needs to know. You know, when you go, oh my God, I made, no, nobody needs to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a promise. I made a promise that if he saved this cat, I would never do blow again. And in the process, I fell in love with the cat. And the cat appreciates it. The cat's on top of me every fucking day.
Yeah, we were on the phone yesterday, and you were like, wait a second. Superbad.
Superbad. He's always lurking. Yeah, he's always lurking, biting my arm. So he knows I made a promise. So it's the weirdest fucking thing. I made a promise.
Yeah.
No rehab, no fucking holy water, no exorcism, no bullshit story. This is how I have to live my life, and it worked out for me. So for me to break that promise, it would take everything else down. It would end our friendship. It would end everything.
Wow.
Because that's how big this promise is. It's your word. It's all you fucking have. And it's something that people, we lose it. I lost that upbringing. When my mother died and I smothered myself with drugs all those years, I forgot that what I was about. That's how I was raised. I remember Juan looking at me one day. He goes, let me talk to you. Like, after my mother died, he hunted me down in his car. And he took me, and he goes, can I talk to you for a second? I went over, I go, what's up? He goes, listen, man, we're cleaning the attic. He goes, I found a bag of marijuana. He goes, I found bags of roaches. They cleaned each roach up. There was bags, because me and the guys were smoking and just throw the roaches behind this fucking dresser.
Okay.
And he goes, listen, man. He goes, I've had some disappointment in my life. That broke my heart to know that you smoked dope. He goes, do me a favor. Make me a promise right here, right now, that you'll never smoke marijuana again. Swear to San Lazaro. And I couldn't do it. At that age, I was probably 16. I was fucked up. And I knew I wasn't prepared to make that promise that I wasn't going to get high again. I don't know what made me remember to do that when I was fucking 43 years old or 45. I don't know. I do not know, but it worked.
It's crazy. It's, and I know you have 18 books you have to write, but that's deaf, because there's so many people who relapse and do all that stuff, and it's crazy that you never did it. I mean, it's, you never hear that. You never
hear. Well, I transferred addictions in a way, because I kept smoking pot. But I don't know when the last time somebody fucked their life up over reefer. Okay, and if you fuck your life up over reefer, it's time just to go in a room with a bunch of padded dicks and stab yourself till you fucking bleed to death. But no, I with all the rehabs and all this shit, we've forgotten about ourselves. You know, what kept me out of jail wasn't people fucking you in the ass or the beatings and nothing. What kept me out of jail was what it did to the people around me. The looks on their faces when they have to come visit you. Because in every scenario, when I sit up at night and think about Lee, there's two scenarios. I don't see him. I don't see him in a prison. I don't see him dead. We never see our friend in those two fucking scenarios.
Okay.
So when a friend sees you in that scenario, it blows their fucking mind. Blows their mind. Because you knowing and you seeing is two different fucking things in your life. So I would see the people who care for me would come see me in that with that orange suit on, and I'd seen what it did to them. You know, I saw when I got sentenced to prison, what it did to George. If we get George here right now and smoke some pot and crack some jokes and get George loose, George will tell you, well, that was one of the toughest days of your life, to see one of your buddies get taken away and you can't fucking help him. It's a tough fucking day, Lee. So it affects everybody. And if you don't know that, then you're a fucking piece of shit for not knowing. And that's why your life's a mess. And that's why for a long time I knew, but I ignored it. You know, what made me get off coke? Listen, Lee, the last thing I wanted was for Terry to find me on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
She's too sweet. If it was a different girl that did coke and whatever, I would give a fuck. But not Terry. It would destroy her world. She wouldn't react to that. A lot of people can't. You know, it took me for fucking years after I found my mother dead on the floor. You can't. I'd rather hear about it. You know, he was found in a hotel. They're going to ship his body back. I would never want Terry to fucking find me in the living room. So these are the things that comes to mind when you're playing your addiction card, when you're trying to get your life together. These are the things that you finally think about that overwhelm everything else, you know, that should. And that's when you go, that's it. I'm going to make my decision. Now you're looming. It's like driving up to that fucking pizza. It's like driving up to that gym and you look inside and you fucking pull away. You'll do that 3 or 4 times with addiction.
I'm sure I will. Mm-hmm.
And then one fucking morning, you go, that's it. It ends. I'm never going to do that again. And it's a week. It's a week out of your life that you suffer. Then it's a week of breaking. Then it's a month of breaking patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're set.
Now, I've always talked to people, and you always hear people who quit, but they still hang around with people who do it, and they still get offered it. Like, we had this kid on Diego on another podcast who was 19 and was smoking heroin for 3 years and just got clean, and he's doing good, but he said he's been offered it. And, like, you don't hang out with the people who still do coke, and, like, it seems like that'd be a big thing to change.
Listen, man, I never really hung out with people who do coke. I hung out with Joe Rogan and Ari and Duncan.
Okay.
So my drug addict, that's what I liked about it. Eddie, that those guys didn't do fucking drugs. They didn't. You know, I don't want to hang out with people, 8 people who get high. I want to hang out with 3 or 4 people who don't get high. So that was always my secret. I didn't hang out with people who got high.
Was it because they wouldn't ask you for any, or like, why?
Because I knew that they would fuel me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I always wanted to do things different. I hang out with people who get high today, but when it comes to me, they don't even talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. The other day, somebody mentioned something to me the other day about blowing. It went in one ear, went out the other. It doesn't even go in my ears no more at all. I don't know why. It just worked out that way.
That's great.
I knew what it did, and I knew what... Just, you know, we get a lot of emails about addiction. People know. People fucking know. You got one guy the other day, 6 months clean. He just realized it's the best feeling in the world. There's a joke to this that I always say, that you're not supposed to get high. But let me tell you something. People who get high and do 30 days, once you hit 30 days, you know you've done 30 days. You're a fucking soldier, and I applaud you. And anybody who stays clean and then goes back to getting high, it's a heartache because they know what they've done. They saw the miracle work one time. They fucking saw.
Yeah, it's like losing weight and then gaining it back.
They saw the miracle.
Yeah.
They see the miracle and they go, what the fuck just happened? I was clean and sober for 13 years. What the fuck happened? And that's why I watch my P's and Q's, because I know how easy it is. But I'm 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I got my time is limited, and I know that if I did, I don't have any desire to do it. Nothing. Nothing at all. Towards the end, the last couple of years, my desire was sex and doing it. Like, doing a couple rocks and getting your dick sucked, finding a victim and shit like that. So I had, like, a purpose. I don't know. I just don't have a purpose with it no more. I never had a purpose for that in my life, that whole party scene.
Do you feel like you hit rock bottom?
Not at all.
Really? Because I just watched Flight, and he didn't hit rock bottom, and the door was banging, and it made him...
I didn't hit rock bottom. I did hit rock bottom at 88 by going to prison. That's rock bottom. Prison mm-hmm. is rock bottom. When I got out, I continued to do it, regardless of it. I was a little bit more cautious, you know, and I respected it more. I knew the traps. You know the traps.
Okay.
And in hindsight, it's all a fucking trap, you know. In hindsight, they're all traps, but... You know the smaller traps, 3 or 4 days, dealing, you know, that shit'll get you in trouble fast, a big amount in your house. So I always knew. I knew one thing. If I went to bed and there was an ounce of coke in my house, I wasn't going to go to bed till that ounce of coke was gone.
Jesus.
Plain and simple. So after a while, I knew not to lie to myself. I knew to bring enough in just to fucking, and once I was in, I wasn't going out. So if I lived on the first floor, Lee, and you lived on the third floor,
yeah,
I would come up here and give you a bag, and you wouldn't see me the rest of the night. You wouldn't hear from me till I was unhigh enough to walk up here and get it from you, which would probably be 2 days later. I would never come and knock on your door. It would be very hard, because I was so paranoid to even open that fucking door that I would not open the fucking door. So I would only take with me what I was going to do. I would look at the clock. I would make a plan of my attack. I want to be in bed by 6. This is how much I could snort every hour. I got enough water. I got cigarettes. I got weed. I got rolling papers. Terry's asleep. I'm going to work. That's how much work addiction was. So when you take all that work away from addiction, do you see where just spending 3 more hours with myself helped my comedy?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't imagine how much more time you have now.
It helped me to get in shape. Because when you have an addiction, it's the undercurrent of your life. It's the continuing fucking soundtrack of your life. No matter who you love, what's in your life, how good your career is going, the continuing soundtrack is all that shit don't matter. Because tonight when I get home at 7 o'clock, I'm blasting off to fucking La La Ville. Whether it's heroin, pills, you know, and that's the continuing thing of fucking addiction. And that's why it sucks ass. And it's crazy. Fucking great when you beat it. So, listen, if you're kicking ass, look at this lady with her big ass titties coming out and getting the newspaper, you fucking filthy, sexy motherfucker. Anyway, listen, if you're addicted, get your shit together. I'm not saying to go to a meeting or whatever. Do whatever works for fucking you, okay? If you don't want to go to a rehab, if you just want to talk with some fucking hooker on the corner and she can rehab you, do that. I just want you to be safe and healthy and have a great fucking week, okay? I want to thank Onnit. Go to the webpage, order something nice from them. They'll take care of you. Go to HuluFuckingPlus.com. They'll take care of you for all your entertainment needs, whether it's movies or original programming, a documentary. You get 2 weeks for fucking free. You know, support anybody who supports the podcast. Remember, in February, if you walk into a Death Squad, if you walk into a 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu, whether it be 10th Planet St. Paul, whether it be 10th Planet Chicago, whether it be 10th Planet Rochester, 10th Planet Culver City with Einstein, any of these 10th Planet schools, you tell them you're Death Squad, you get the whole month of February for free. Eddie Bravo's doing that for you guys as a fucking gift for free, just so you see what Jiu-Jitsu is and the rubber guard and how it's changed so many lives. If you don't have any money, you just want to go down to a fucking 10th Planet and see what the fuck they got going on. That's what we're doing over here with Death Squad. We're helping you out. Thank you very much for keeping You Can't Eat Pussy with Asthma on the charts for 3 fucking weeks. 3 fucking weeks, you motherfuckers have kept it right there. I love you cocksuckers with all my heart. I'll see you guys in Minneapolis. And that's it, Lee. What do you got to tell these people? Anything good?
Please check out the new podcast, whether it's Flying G Radio or This Is How Big of a Nerd I Am or Watch This. Thank you just thank you for watching this, and it's been a crazy...
For supporting us and for making this whole dream happen. All right, Lee, why are you stuttering, folks?
I don't know, because I was focusing on getting the music ready, and you popped a question. What's with
what
the questions?
What fucking question?
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. Or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner.
Dedicated to the niggas that was down from day one. Welcome to Death Row.
Like we always do about this time.
Yeah, 9-2. Death Row Records. Creeping when you're sleeping. Niggas with attitudes? Nah, low. Niggas on a motherfucking mission. What up, niggas and niggas? That crazy ass nigga back in the motherfucking his ales. The notorious Compton G-D-R-E on the solo tip. Fuck the mother fools. What up, Ren? Yeah. Dropping chronic flakes on your ass, biatch. West Coast flavor. Niggas who talk shit get dealt with real quick. So if you wanna take a trip to the road, let a nigga like Snoop Doggy Dog know. Protected by niggas with big dicks, AKs, and 187 skills. So if it's a must, you test us, we can handle it in the streets. Nigga, fuck making records. Yeah. G's up, hoes down. If that bitch can't swim, then she bound to drizzin'. Peace to my nigga Drizzy. Another platinum hit, nigga. Peace to the DOC. Still making it funky enough. And Death Row Records is in full motherfucking effect. Oh, yeah. P.S. Fuck Mr. Rourke and Tattoo, a.k.a. Jerry and Easy. Sincerely yours, these motherfucking nuts. I don't love Easy. I don't love Jerry. I don't love Ruthless Records. Frankly, I don't love nothing they got to do with. But you know what I want them to do for me? Jerry Easy, check this shit out here. I want y'all to put these bizzos in your jizzos and work them like a strizzo and tell me what your sizzle. Yeah, you know what? You know what? Fuck all y'all. Fuck y'all. Really don't. It's that right, nigga. You better ask somebody. You really better ask somebody.
Get out. I don't love you no nigga. More. You's a penguin looking motherfucker.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Know what I'm saying? Yeah.
buster. Where the fuck you at? Can't scrap a lick. So I know you got your gas, your dick on hard.
For fucking your road dogs, the hood you grew up with. Niggas you grew up with. Don't even respect your ass. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I wanna slap the taste out your mouth.
Make it bow down to the rope.
Fucking me, no, I'm fucking you, little hoe. Oh, you
think I would forgot.
Make me
fly?
Let
me ride.
Just another homicide, yeah, me, so I can talk on.
Stomp
what?
On the easiest grease that you can walk on. So strap on your Compton hat, your locs, and watch your back, cause you might get smoked low. And pass the bud, and stay low key, BG, cause you lost all your homies' love. Now call it what you want to. You fucked with me, now it's a must that I fuck with you.
You better raise up.
Yeah, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. We have your motherfucking record company surrounded. Put down the candy and let the little boy go. You know what I'm saying? Funk motherfucker.
Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Doggy dogs in the motherfucking house.
Bow wow wow, yippee yo, yippee yay. Death rows in the motherfucking house.
Wow, wow, yippee, yo, yippee, yay. The sounds of a dog bring me to another day. Play with my bone, would you, Timmy? It seems like you're good for making jokes about your Jimmy. Well, here's the Jimmy joke about your mama that you might not like. I heard she was a Frisco dyke, but fuck your mama. I'm talking about you and me, toe to toe. Tim, M-U-T, your bark was loud, but your bite wasn't vicious. And the rhymes you were kicking were quite bootylicious. You get what doggy dog, oh, is he crazy? With your mama and your daddy hollering, baby. So what that lets you know? That if you fuck with Drake, nigga, you're fucking with Death Row. And I ain't even swinging them things. I'm hollering 187 with my dick in your mouth, bitch, bitch.
Yeah,
bitch.
Nigga, cops will all be together on this motherfucker. So you wanna pop that shit, get your motherfucking cranium cracked, nigga. Step on up. Now, we ain't no motherfucking joke, so remember the name. Mighty, Mighty DR. Yeah, motherfucker.
Now understand this, my nigga Drake can't be touched.
Luke's bending over.
So Luke's getting fucked, Buster.
Buster thought I was sleazy. I thought I was a mark, cause I used to hang with Easy.
Animosity made you speak what you spoke. Ayo, Drake.
What up?
Chip this nigga off, love.
If it ain't another hoe that I got to fuck with, gap teeth in your mouth, so my dick's got to fit.
With my nuts on your tonsils, while you're on stage rapping at your whack ass concert.
And I'ma snatch your ass from the backside to show you how Death Row pull off that hoot ride.
Now you might not understand me,
cause I'ma rob you in Compton and blast you with Miami.
Then we gon' creep to South Central on a street knowledge mission.
As I steps in the temple, Spotty got him. As I pulls out my strap, got my chrome to the side of his white socks.
You tryna check my homie, you best check yourself, cause when you diss Drake, you diss yourself.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, nigga.
So I don't want no
Nine Deuce, Dr. Dre, dropping chronic once again. It don't stop. Punishing punk motherfuckers real quick like Compton style, nigga. Doggy dogs in the motherfucking house. Yeah. Long Beach is in the motherfucking house. Yeah. Yeah. Straight up. Really though. Breaking all them suckers off some real proper life. You know what I'm saying? All them sucker ass niggas can eat a fat dick. Yeah, Easy E can eat a big fat dick. Tim Dawg can eat a big fat dick. Luke can eat a fat dick.